Turning now to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. Let us turn in the scriptures to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. I'm beginning to read from verse 11 down to verse 14. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 11. Let us hear the word of God. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And with the Lord's help this evening, we're going to look at the subject of the seeking shepherd. The seeking shepherd. The text here before us is a very helpful text. And tonight, with the Lord's help, we want to see together the need of the age is that we're lost, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of his sheep, the good shepherd, is seeking out lost sheep. Now, I did say to one or two this morning that I had a few little illustrations. So here's the first one. There was a little boy who was going to Sunday school. He wasn't from a Christian home, but over the months, the Lord began to work in his life, and he began to think seriously about the Lord Jesus Christ. Until, in his own bedroom one night, he knelt down and he asked the Lord Jesus to be his Saviour. Now, what do you think he was going to do next? Well, next morning at breakfast, he sat down with his mummy and his daddy, and he was having his breakfast, and he was very quiet, and he was praying, and he didn't feel confident enough to say anything. And it went on like this for a few weeks, until it became so important to him that he was with his mum one day. They were out walking, and he said, "Mummy, I've got something to tell you." And she said, "What is it?" And he said, "The good shepherd has come to save me, Mummy." She didn't know what that language was. But he had learned, and he explained to her that he'd heard about the good shepherd at Sunday school, and that this good shepherd was the Lord Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary to save a little boy like him from his sins. You see, this boy had it right. The good shepherd had come to save him. The good shepherd had sought him out. And this is what we have in this text. Now, this is a marvelous text. This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ seeking out precious souls. This is a picture of the great shepherd of Israel, pictured in the Old Testament and portrayed here in this very story and the very illustration of him coming and seeking and finding the lost sheep. And friends, it may not sit well with the modern age, but the Bible declares all mankind, men, women, and children, by their sin and by their fall in Adam, as lost. So everyone is a lost sheep, or better, everyone is a lost person in regards to God's perspective. Now, we want to notice something else in chapter 18. Because here we have a marvelous illustration of how dear the children were to the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes a little child in chapter 18, verse 2. He's been asked a question about who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord Jesus calls a little child, sits him in the midst of them. Some people say sat him on his knee. and looked at the crowd and said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, all of this happened in Galilee. All of this is happening in Capernaum. You find that in the previous chapter. And the picture is this. The Lord Jesus Christ is not saying you need to be childish to become one of his followers. You need to be childlike. You need to be humble. You need to be gentle, not resistant, not turning our back or hardening our heart against the Lord, but being softened and being open to the Lord. How wonderful it is when you see little children, like I told about that little boy, and that's the true story of that little boy, how sensitive he was, how warm-hearted. And the Lord began to soften his heart and draw him to the Saviour. You see, in this chapter, we have the little child being taken and being made an illustration of what it is to be converted to the Saviour, to be changed. But here in our text, here's the shepherd seeking out lost sheep. It's such a memorable text. And of course, I'm sure you've heard many sermons on it. And I've got three things to share tonight. And they're very brief, but I hope they're helpful. The first is this, the Lord's passion for the lost sheep, or Christ's passion for the Lord's sheep. Look at this in verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now, in another place, we're told that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who became man, who took upon himself a humanity, divinity, putting on humanity. This Son of Man is a beautiful title that the Lord Jesus uses many, many times in his earthly ministry. He takes it out of the prophecy of Daniel, and he's saying here, the Son of Man is come. Here's where the passion begins. Here's where the drive begins. Here's where the determination begins. It begins in glory. He is come, and he has been promised, and now he's arrived. And why has he come? Why has the Son of Man come? Oh, friends, this is to instruct the disciples about how important it is to be preaching the gospel and to be making it known. In Mark chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ says, he did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This statement reveals the main reason Christ came to earth, not to make men and women better, not to improve their lives, not to give them some tenuous hope, some kind of fragile hope, but he came to save. And as I said in another text in Luke, we're told he came to seek and to save. The Lord Jesus Christ here is speaking very important things. The Son of Man is come to save. How is he going to save? How is the Savior going to save a lost people? He's going to go to Calvary and die on a cruel cross and offer up himself as an atonement for sin and a sacrifice to God. He's going to offer up himself in his humanity as the substitute for sinners. Here's the Son of Man, and he's come to save. And somebody says, I don't need saving. The Lord Jesus says the opposite. We're all lost. We're all lost. Without him, we're lost. We're lost in time. And if we stay lost and outside of Christ, we're lost in eternity. You see, this is the thing. And do we believe this? Do we have this drive and this passion and this desire, as our Lord Jesus did to his own disciples and to the others gathered on this moment in Capernaum in verse 24? When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" And we know that story in chapter 17. And here they are. And here we are tonight. And the Son of Man, his purpose is still the same. Oh yes, he's come. Oh yes, he's lived. Oh yes, he's died. Oh yes, he's been crucified. Oh yes, he's risen from the dead. Oh yes, he's ascended into glory. But he continues his desire and his mission to save souls. He has done all that's necessary, friends. But he's still seeking. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Did you know that our passion for the lost is a good spiritual barometer? I don't know if you've seen it this way before. How interesting. Our Lord Jesus is saying here the drive, the purpose, his mission is to save the lost. But how's our response? Were we praying yesterday as we went out with the gospel? It wasn't the easiest of days. Maybe in the past we'd be out there physically. Now we need to be out there with the people. Have we a passion for lost souls, friends? Have we the same drive as the Lord Jesus Christ did? Somebody might say, "Well, I need more teaching." Ah, friends, you need more preaching. When Christ has preached, as he says elsewhere, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." Do we see people as lost? When you go to a large city, I know Inverness likes to call itself a city, but take Edinburgh or Glasgow or even London and stand in the middle of a London street and watch the multitude pass you by and think they're all lost. Lost. Lost souls. Oh, we need this, friends. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to get a crown. He came to bear a cross. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to be served, but to save. And serving on the cross. Gospel service, gospel preaching, evangelistic ministry. This is the barometer of how we see the work of the gospel and the work of Christ. Do we believe these things, friends? If we do, we're in very good company. The King of love, my shepherd is. His goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Don't we realize, friends, that that is a hymn? Yes, it's a hymn taken from Psalm 23, but it's taken from a very different perspective. It's taken from the perspective of a believer who has experienced the ransomed soul he leadeth, where the verdant pastures grow with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. Oh, has he sought us out? Has he found us? Are we still lost tonight? You can be lost in a Christian meeting. You can stay lost if we harden our hearts against the Lord. But the Lord, I'm sure, is going to soften us. That's the first thing, the Lord's passion for lost souls. The second thing is this, the Lord's picture of lost sheep. This is so interesting, so instructive. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is using a very common picture that would have been very familiar to the people of Capernaum and of Galilee. Of a man, we take him as a shepherd, who had 100 sheep. He's not a poor shepherd. He's not a very wealthy shepherd. He's not like Abraham or some of the patriarchs, but he has 100 sheep. 100. And they're worth something. And there he is. And he's possibly with other shepherds. And one of them is lost. And I want you to notice this. The man has 100 sheep, but he doesn't notice the 99. They're all accounted for. He knows the one that's lost. I wonder, do we realize how instructive this is? Every shepherd worth his salt, every shepherd of Old Testament times, and even of up till quite recently in this part of the world, would know their sheep. They'd know the markings of their sheep. They'd know the characteristics of their sheep. They'd know the silly sheep that always likes to go astray and sees a nice grassy area that's away from the rest of the flock. And they know them. They'll know the timid sheep and the quiet sheep. They'll know the leading sheep. And there's always one. If you ever notice this, the sheep, especially when the shepherd is behind them or at the side, they go wherever they want and there's one leader. But they also know the tender-hearted. And here's an instructive picture. 100 sheep, all safe. I know in the hymn we're told they're all safe in the fold. Well, they may be all safe in the fold, but according to the scriptures, they're just left. Are they left in the wilderness? Well, please, friends, don't be distracted by the word wilderness. It doesn't mean that there's no grass. It's just that there's no habitation, there's no houses. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. You know this hymn, I'm sure you do. Written a few years ago now by Elizabeth Cecilia Clefane. And she says, Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? Ah, but the shepherd made answer, this is of mine, has wandered away from me. This is the picture of a lost sheep. A picture, but very instructive. Do we realize that we're lost? And I want you to notice the characteristics of the sheep. Just a few things. First of all, the rambling of the sheep. Notice how the Lord Jesus puts it. One of them be gone astray. She's wandered off. She's decided that she's going to go somewhere else. And she leaves the flock, the safety of the flock. Sheep, by the way, always feel safe when they're in numbers, when they're together. They don't feel very safe when they're away. And the word stray here means to wander away. And as she wanders away, she turns her back on the rest of the flock. And she wanders so far away that she doesn't realize where she is until it's too late. She's astray. She's rambling. You know, you can go astray in a life. You can determine to go your own way and decide to take your own course. This is astray. And so many people are astray today, but the sad thing is they don't even realize it. They're astray. They're not condemned yet, but they're wandering off. The picture here is of wandering off from the right way, from the way set by us by God in his word. This is us. Without Christ, we're astray. The picture, of course, is taken up from the text in Isaiah, in chapter 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's the good shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Oh, we don't like to be reminded of these realities, but everyone, apart from Christ, is astray. There are almost 8 billion people live in the world. How many are found? Most are astray. They're determined to go their own way. But here's the thing. The rambling sheep is not forgotten by the seeking shepherd. Because here, secondly, is the rescue of the sheep. Here's this lost sheep. Now she realizes she's lost. Here's this lost sinner. And he or she realizes he's or she is lost. Ah, but the wonderful thing is, Though the sinner is lost, the Savior is looking for them. That's the point here. He doth not leave. Doth he not leave? I love that. That emphasizes the positive rather than the negative. In modern texts, it says, he leaves. It's not as clear. Doth he not leave? The 99, and goeth into the mountains. There's a lovely painting I was given a few years ago of a shepherd finding the lost sheep in a crevice in a rock, in a dangerous place. And the shepherd reaching out his hand, and he can't reach the sheep because his arm is not long enough. So he gets his crook and puts the crook, then the curve of the crook, the hook of the crook, underneath the neck of the sheep, and gradually drags her so that he can grasp her. This is how tender the Lord Jesus Christ is. He rescues his sheep. He finds his sheep. Here is a language of earnestness. Notice what the word says. He goeth into the mountains and seeketh that one which is gone astray. He's looking for his lost sheep. He's not going to give up. He's compassionate. He's passionate. He's earnest. He's determined. Where is he going to find the lost sheep? Wherever the lost sheep is to be found. By the way, it's his lost sheep. We miss these things. This is one of his lost sheep, whom the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. And if someone is lost tonight, this should melt our hearts. We think we're fine. We're okay without Christ. And Christ here is saying, no, I'm the good shepherd who lays down my life for my sheep. But I'm also the good shepherd who seeks out the lost sheep. John chapter 10 speaks about the good shepherd laying down his life. But we need to realize he's seeking us out. Will he be successful? Of course he will. The rescue is guaranteed. He's not going to abort the rescue once it's started. The mission will be completed. The Savior will find his lost sheep, wherever that lost sheep may be. Maybe in a drug den. The Savior can find a lost sheep there. Or in the gutter of the street. Or in some high-powered position where somebody is so full of their own self-importance. The Lord Jesus Christ finds his lost sheep. He knows where we are. He knows where you are. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows who you've been with. And yet, he seeks us out. It's extraordinary. We think we're seeking the Lord. But the whole point of this text is he's looking for us. And by the way, it's not as if he's going to have to look here, there, and everywhere because he knows exactly where we are. He's all-knowing, you see. So he seeketh that which has gone astray. And verse 13, this is the last thing. We've seen, firstly, the passion for lost sheep. Do we have this passion, this drive, this determination, like our Lord did and does, still holds to it? Do we have this picture in our minds of a lost sheep, cut off from God, strangers, perhaps to the things of God? And then lastly, the Lord's pleasure in finding the sheep. Look at this in verse 13. And if so be that he find it, this is lovely language. It's guaranteed, you see. It's not as if saying, well, he might find it. And he doesn't know where it is, so he might by chance come across it. No. If so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, and I want you to notice this. The rejoicing of the shepherd in finding the lost sheep. The little word rejoicing. Now you might think, I've been a lost sheep. And you might think, if you were to meet a shepherd on the hills and they were to tell you a story about one of their sheep that got lost, that they stopped the sheep and gave the sheep a telling off and chastised the sheep. Not at all. That's not the heart of a shepherd. And it's certainly not the heart of the good shepherd. When he finds his sheep, as no doubt he does and always will, he finds his sheep and he rejoices over his sheep. In the parable, in Luke chapter 15, the shepherd finds the sheep and takes the sheep up in his arms and puts the sheep on his shoulders. This is a picture of joy. A picture of exuberance. Are we allowed to use those kind of terms? Of course we are. Because in the same text, in the parable of the lost sheep, we have joy in heaven. Oh, it's one thing when you meet a new Christian and you're rejoicing with them. But there's joy in glory. And people say, oh, that's just amongst the angels. I don't believe that for a moment. It doesn't say joy amongst the angels. It says joy in heaven. And for me, that covers all of heaven, including God himself. Imagine that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rejoicing over a new saved sheep who was once lost. This might be a male sheep. It might be a female sheep. It doesn't matter. To the shepherd, he's found his lost sheep and he rejoices. He's overjoyed. In Isaiah, we're told he sees the travail of his soul. Can you get this? Dear believers, this should melt us. You mean there's a joy in heaven over one lost sinner? Absolutely. There's joy in the Saviour's heart. I can't explain these words. Even dear Charles Spurgeon couldn't explain those words. And boy, he could explain a lot of things. How do you explain the joy of Christ? Our little minds can't even comprehend this. He rejoiceth over that sheep, that one that was lost, than the 99 which went not astray. Ha ha. Oh yes, it's one thing to be safe in the fold, as the hymn tells us. It was another thing for the Saviour to rejoice over the one who has been found. And not only is there rejoicing, but secondly, and very quickly, there's reassurance. And this is marvellous. This is why the Bible is so unique. This is why these stories are not just mere stories. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. What a reassurance. What a confirmation. From the Saviour's own lips. No, it's not the will of the Father, not the will of Almighty God, that one of these should perish. To God, it is not the will of your Father that anyone should perish. These words are meant for the encouragement of all true Christians and not for little children only. The connection in which is found with the parable of the 100 sheep and one which went astray seems to place this beyond doubt. They are meant to tell us and to show us that our Lord Jesus is a shepherd who cares tenderly for the sickliest, the youngest, the weakest of his dear flock. Every one of his sheep are very precious to him. And not one should perish. Not one should be lost. It's the same word used in that famous text in John chapter 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Here's the good shepherd coming forth, that whosoever believeth on him, we need to believe in this shepherd, would not perish, there's our word, but have everlasting life. Reassurance, rejoicing, can we take it in? Here's our Saviour on the cross. See his love for our dear souls. See his grace in giving himself for our sins and for our shame and for our guilt. But see him before this, seeking out and finding his lost sheep. His patience is shown by the cross, his mercy, his love, and his grace. Now, I did say I have a couple of little stories, and one of them is this. These are true stories, by the way. There was a little girl who was dying, and she followed the stranger that she'd seen into a part of town that was a little bit dodgy. And this old man saw the poor teenager. And she said, "I knew you would come and pray with me, for I'm going to die. The girls here don't believe I'm going to die, but I know I am." "I wondered," says the preacher, "how I could bring her to Christ," when she solved the problem by asking, "if there wasn't a story in the Bible about a sheep that had strayed far from the fold and the shepherd who had gone after it." She asked the preacher, "Can you find the story?" He turned to Matthew chapter 18. He read the story and he explained to her that the shepherd is giving his life for the sheep. "And as I prayed, kneeling beside that dying girl's bed, the other girls knelt too, sobbing by their friend's bed. What an audience. When I looked up, I shall never forget the expression on that little girl's face. 'Oh,' she cried, 'it's wonderful. The good shepherd has come for me. The good shepherd has found me, and he's holding me close to his heart.'" The preacher left. He came back the next morning. He loved those girls. And they met him at the door and says, "We wish you had been here, sir. Mary's passed away in the early hours. But she kept saying, her face was ablaze with joy. She was so happy. She couldn't stop saying it. 'The shepherd has found me, and he's holding me close to his heart.'" Many years later, in another city, a woman came up to me, the preacher says, and asked me, "Don't you recognize me?" And he said, "I don't." She said, "I'm one of the girls that told you of Mary's passing all those years ago. But there was something else I wanted to tell you. That morning when the good shepherd brought Mary in on one shoulder, I came in on the other." The Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the seeking shepherd, the saving shepherd. Let us pray. O Lord our God, if there be any here tonight who are still lost and astray, oh, that they'd know that the Saviour is seeking them out, the good shepherd of his beloved sheep. And Lord, someone might say, "How do I know whether I'm one of his sheep or not?" Oh, if they run to him and fall at his feet and yield their lives to him and confess their sins and ask him to save them, then they will know for sure they're one of his sheep. Oh Lord, move many hearts and many souls in these days to seek the Lord a while he may be found, and that they would know that Christ has been seeking them out. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt part us with thy blessing, that thou wilt keep us, that thou wilt preserve us, that thou wilt sustain us, that the good shepherd who died at Calvary and died on the cross to save us from our sins, he has promised never to leave us, never forsake us, and to keep us till the end. O Lord, we may feel so weak at times, we may feel so tossed and turned about by so many circumstances and griefs and sorrows, but Lord, we know that there is one that will keep us all the way through, and he is our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now and keep us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.